Good morning and welcome back to Nachyomi. Today our focus is going to be Perek Yud Aleph, the 11th chapter of Sefer Yirmiyahu, and it really deals with Yirmiyahu's struggle for the truth. There are essentially two parts to this Perek. The first part of the Perek is where Yirmiyahu really tries to inculcate in the minds of the people around him the importance of keeping the covenant of Hashem, of reaffirming the covenant of Hashem with the people. The second part of it is really his struggle socially with those people in the town that he grew up in, Anatsos, and the threat that they posed to his life for being a rabble-rouser. We're going to see, let's try to look at this in sections. So the Perek starts off with really a very unusual section. Yirmiyahu explains that he receives prophecy from Hashem, that he is told that he is supposed to tell the people of Yehuda and Yoshvei Yerushalayim, and this is what he's supposed to say. Arur ha'ish asher lo yishma es divrei habris hazos. Cursed be the person who does not keep this covenant. Which covenant? Oh, asher tzivi says avoseichem b'yom hotzii yosam eretz Mitzrayim mikora barazel. It was the covenant I gave them, the nation of Israel, when I took them out of Egypt. That on that day I said, v'yisem li lo'am v'anochi yeh elochem lokel elokim. You're going to be my people, I'll be your God. It was a dual acceptance. And in, that's going to be in order to facilitate laman hakimes ha'shvua shenishbati l'avoseichem. And that would be the grounds upon which I would give you this land. And Yirmiyahu says, and I said, Amen to that. I affirmed HaKadosh Baruch Hu's statement. Now, just to appreciate what's going on over here, what's so new about this covenant? Meaning, like, why is Yirmiyahu suddenly bringing this up now? So the Midrash in Sifrei in Tehillim says, no, you know what? It isn't a new covenant at all. But the old covenant was never really fully affirmed by the Nevi'im until Yirmiyahu. Quoting actually the Psukim in the end of Sefer Devarim, it's a nation which has loy emun bom, no, we'll call it trustworthiness. The Medrash explains it doesn't mean that they didn't have a trustworthiness, it means loy emun bom, there's no amen in them. No Navi up till the time of Yirmiyahu was willing to affirm this. Now, that's fascinating. It could be because that was a self-defense mechanism, that the Nevi'im didn't want to put the people into such a terrifying place that they would be held responsible for that. Nonetheless, Yirmiyahu does say, despite all the backdrop, says Amen. And then Malbim goes on further to say that Yirmiyahu is saying Amen to this, even if he knows that no other Jew is going to say this, he's willing to take the responsibility. That's a terrifying responsibility that Yirmiyahu takes on, because it comes with the flip side is the continuation, which is what happens if they don't do this. And that's what Hashem says. Thereafter, Yirmiyahu accepting this covenant, then Hashem says, well, look, I made a covenant that on the day that you leave Mitzrayim, that you need to keep this. And these people, v'loi shamu v'loi hitu es oznam, they didn't listen, they didn't follow me. In fact, shavuah avonos avosam harishonim asher me'anu lishmois devorai v'hema holchu acharei Elohim acherim. They didn't listen to me. They returned to the acts of their fathers, meaning pre-Matan Torah, and they are serving Avodah Zarah just like them. In fact, the Malbim goes on to point out in this section that it's not just that they were, you know, just the same as up till now. These people were equally as bad as the previous people, previous generations. They were actually worse. Why? Because previous generations served Avodah Zarah, or perhaps dismissed HaKadosh Baruch Hu passively. These people actively went out of their way to dismiss HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which means to say that we're talking about a very bad generation. And here HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, therefore I'm going to bring against them their a terrible enemy, as he's talked about before. And when you call out to your gods that you are serving, let's see what they do then. And they're obviously not going to answer you. That's how he ends this section. In fact, now HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, and he said this before to Yirmiyahu, but Hashem reaches out to Yirmiyahu and says, V'ata, you Yirmiyahu, don't represent them. They're going to complain. They're going to cry. They're going to call out. I'm not listening, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They went so bad, it's irreversible. They have hurt themselves in a way that they cannot be fixed. That's shocking. That's a shocking statement. And we've seen this before already in Yirmiyahu. But it goes a little further. Then Hashem says, Meh li didi b'veisi asosa mezimosa harabim. Why is it that my Yedid, my favorite one, my special one, is in my house? What is it referring to in this section over here? So actually, if you take a look, there's many very different permutations of this. There's a Gemara in Menachos in two places, and it also appears in the Midrash in Eicha Rabasi. that this is a story which actually is the framework for Kina Chof Vav, the 26th Kina on Tisha B'Av, which is called Az Bahaloch Yirmiyahu. It's a description of Yirmiyahu going to the Bate Kvaros, to the cemetery, to speak to those who have deceased, the elders and the patriarchs of the people of Israel, to see a search for a defendant for the nation of Israel. And it's actually the Kina, if you take a look at it, works in a dialectic fashion, where Yirmiyahu turns to Avram, and he turns to Yitzhak, and he turns to Moshe, and he turns to all the different of the Avos, and really, essentially, most of their arguments are dismissed until it comes to the Imahos, until the mothers who are listened to. The version of the story which is found in Eicha Rabbasi actually is much more elongated, where Avram Avinu presents a number of defenses for Israel, and they're all dismissed, and Yitzhak also presents a number of defenses, and Moshe Rabbeinu, and they're all dismissed. In fact, it goes so far as to say how each of the letters of the Aleph Beis comes to testify against Israel, showing how every letter, every commandment, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, was dismissed by Bnei Israel, was ignored by Bnei Israel, and therefore they're coming to be meyed to testify against Bnei Israel, and Avraham Avinu tries to silence each one and manages to a certain degree to succeed, but not fully. So, it's a very shocking medrash, and it actually concludes, the end of this medrash is when Rachel Imenu was the one who cries out, and because of her self-sacrifice on behalf of her children, on behalf of her co-wife, giving over the sons to Leah, her ability to be able to cry for her children and her ability to be able to call HaKadosh Baruch Hu to sacrifice on his side for others is what actually wins the day. And that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Mini kolech mi bechi, benach min dima," that HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks Rachel to stop crying. And this is all as a function of these psukim in this parak. And if you actually want to read through the medrash or the kina chavav, you can see how every line of these psukim that ran from psukim tezvav to yudzayin are in fact a phrase by phrase refutation for every argument that Avraham Avinu suggests in defense of Klal Yisrael. This is a very, very obviously a lot of material which is packed into this particular section. The last section of this parak is a really, I would say, a very, very sad section. It runs really from Yud Ches to the end of the parak in Chof Gimel, and the idea is one of Yirmiyahu's being pursued. He's being persecuted. Remember, he is now disturbing the peace. He is the people who he is walking the streets of Yerushalayim, talking about prophecies of the end. And really, 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 at this point, there's prosperity. It's the times of Yoshio. There's the enemy on the north, Assyria, is falling. The society is succeeding. What is there to worry about? But what ends up happening is because he's rabble-rousing, or he's really telling the truth, and it's making people upset to hear the truth, people start plotting against him. So he says, Hashem showed me their plots. In fact, the Radak quotes his father, who says that they were trying to poison him. And he says, "Vanika keves aluf yuvalito elitvoach. I was just like this lamb to the slaughter. I never knew what was going on. And suddenly one day, I had people trying to kill me." What is Yirmiyahu's response to this? He is so angry. He's so angry. Here he is trying to help the people. Here he is trying to tell them what's happening. And instead of listening to him, they just want to get rid of the truth. It's inconvenient and it's uncomfortable to hear about all these kind of things. So what do they say? So what does Yirmiyahu say about them? Hashem, you take revenge on them. And what does Hashem say? Hashem says, tragically, Hashem says, Don't testify about them. Rather, I'm going to make sure all the young men are getting to be slaughtered by the sword. All their children, their good boys and girls, will die in famine. Because I'm going to bring evil to them, and they're never going to be remembered. What a terrible, what a shocking thing. But this is what Yirmiyahu is saying, is here are the people. It's the people of Anasos, his hometown, this out-of-town, salt-of-the-earth kind of people, who are really not the kind of people who are, this is not the city folk, but they're upset about Yirmiyahu, their own, who's now disturbing the peace. And says Yirmiyahu, when you get in my way, when you try to kill me for saying the right thing, then I bring upon you the wrath of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a tragedy all around. It's a tragedy for Yirmiyahu. It's a tragedy for these people. It's a tragedy for Klal Yisrael that they're not willing to listen to what's going to make them better. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day.